Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a great show. Well, I say I have a great show lined up for you. Beth found another great guest for us, and his name is Bruce McCleary. He is Vice President of Public Relations and External Affairs for the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. Say that 10 times fast. Listen, there's a lot going on in the credit world. The numbers are staggering of the people who have found themselves in some difficulties. Even though the economy has improved, there's still a lot of folks that are facing challenges out there in how to handle credit and delinquent debt. And some big numbers that we'll be getting into a little bit on the program. We've invited Bruce to come on and talk with us. He is doing public relations work and making people more aware of what the National Foundation for Credit Counseling does. And I'd like to welcome Bruce to the program. Bruce.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me on the show. It's really great to be here.
You're very welcome, and I'm excited to have you on. There's a lot of new and kind of breaking news out there, some things that are happening that I think is very relevant for folks to hear about, and let's get right to, I know something on the top of your list, which is going to tie into a big subject, and that is the subject of student loan debt. And I had to look at this number like four times for my show prep. 43 million total federal student borrowers?
That's correct.
That's a huge number.
Yeah. And the amount of debt that's borrowed is even larger, $1.3 trillion right now.
It's a staggering number, and that now has surpassed credit card debt.
Yeah, it's left credit card debt behind in the dust.
Wow.
Essentially.
Well, the thing that really got my attention, which is why I'm very interested to talk with you, Bruce, is that I saw that something like 7 million of those 43 million student borrowers are 90 days delinquent on their loans?
Yes, that's correct. People are struggling out there. They're struggling to repay that student loan debt. They borrowed a lot for college, and for whatever reason, they're having a lot of other issues trying to repay it after they graduate, and it's a struggle for a lot of people. And on top of that, 5 million are in default.
Wow. Okay, so you had the 7 and the 5 together.
Yeah, there's 5 million that have already gone into default.
And then another 7 or 90 days late.
Yeah.
So we got 12 million out of the 43. So one in three student loan borrowers have a problem.
Yeah, exactly. And it's what's really troubling, especially when you're dealing with this kind of debt. This can't go away so easily. You can't just stick it into bankruptcy or make it disappear quickly, and it's going to follow you for a long time, and they're going to get their money one way or the other.
Well, that's why I was so excited to have you on, Bruce, because I know that NFCC has just released a big announcement that your organization, National Foundation for Credit Counseling, has acquired the Student Loan Alliance, which you've got a lot of work ahead of you. You got your work cut out for you.
Yeah, and this is a huge step towards being able to deliver a national student loan counseling program across all 50 states that's backed by a really substantial certification process for counselors. So it's comprehensive. These counselors are not just going to be certified to deal with issues surrounding student loans. They're going to be able to take a holistic approach when conducting the counseling sessions, and they'll be able to deal with other issues that might be the root cause of the problem of repaying the student loan debt. People might be having credit card debt issues. They might be having issues with their mortgage payment. All of this can be discussed and can be a part of the counseling session when we roll the program out. Now, this acquisition of the Student Loan Alliance is one step towards developing the certification process and rolling this program out nationwide. And when it's rolled out and launched, which we're hoping for the fall of this year, it will be the largest nonprofit student loan counseling program that's backed by a comprehensive certification process.
Well, I think it's not only timely, but it's excellent because you've hit it on the head, Bruce, which a comprehensive nature or some of these other things that may be involved that are creating the delinquencies or default on the student loans by the student borrowers, because it's, you can't look, you know, looking at it just as a, its own separate thing obviously ignores the reality or practicality of what students or I say students, you know, they may have already gone and graduated, and they're trying to find a job, have a job that maybe is below what they went to school for. There's lots of stories about that out there, or just aren't able to get a job. And there's the totality of their situation that I love that the National Foundation for Credit Counseling can help address that. And let me get the number out, Bruce, because I know people that are listening. The 800 number, 800-388-2227, or they can go to your website, the nfcc.org.
Mm-hmm. And when they go to the website, they can already find a listing of the agencies. There are some of the agencies that are already providing the student loan counseling.
Excellent.
At this time. So when they go to the website and they go to nfcc.org, they can get help now.
I like that a lot. I like it a lot, Bruce. I applaud what you guys are doing, because it's just such a critical thing for people to get guidance. And, of course, this goes on top of what the NFCC is already doing with having credit counselors all over the country and partner agencies and folks that have received the training and certifications that you talked about in terms of helping people with other types of debt. So it's really, I don't want to say one-stop shopping, but you're getting pretty darn close to it.
Yeah, a lot of different issues can be addressed by an individual counselor when somebody comes in. So they may come in with a problem that is related to repaying credit card debt, but then it can be discovered that maybe there are also some issues repaying their mortgage. So that can also be addressed by the same counselor. And then now, of course, we're leading to where our counselors can also talk about the student loan debt, and they can review the budget and give some good advice there as well. So a lot can be accomplished with just one counseling session.
That's very good, Bruce. And I want to go back to a point you made, because I think a lot of people are not aware, and we'll get into some more nuts and bolts on this, but they're not aware about the difference of student loan debt and not being able to run it through bankruptcy. Can you speak to that a little bit about why that is?
Well, I can speak to the fact that it is what it is, and this is a situation where you've got debt that just is not dischargeable through bankruptcy. And
okay, so that's a federal rule then for bankruptcy law.
Yeah, it is. Okay. You can't get away from your student loan debt. You borrowed it, you're going to repay it. One way or another, it's going to follow you around. And it's a tough challenge. So that underscores the importance of programs like what we've launched at the NFCC, where student loan counseling can help people find solutions, because if you're going to be stuck with it, you might as well find the best way to deal with it.
Absolutely.
And the counselors can help lead people to that point. So it's a tough situation to be in, and there's no easy solution. You know, bankruptcy's off the table, certainly. And you know, we might get into this a little bit later, but also debt settlement. You can't just walk away and settle the debt so easily either.
Right.
So it's going to be something that you have to repay, and you have to find a way to do that within your means to do so.
Yeah, this falls in the same category. There's a couple of other things that are very difficult, and I'm not an attorney, but my understanding is, you know, you've got a couple categories like student loan, you've got taxes themselves, mm-hmm. alimony, child support. Some of these things are in a special category for being very difficult, if not just not an option to get discharged in bankruptcy.
Right, and just if you think about the amount that people are borrowing right now for education, the cost of education, I just think about this in terms of my own experience. I mean, I feel lucky that I went to college when I did, because for me it was very affordable. I went the first 2 years to community college and left the first 2 years completely debt-free, and then only had to finance the second portion of my college education, and did so affordably while working. But now I think about students today and just the cost and how much it's increased over time. I'm not going to give away my age here, but in a few years. And I think about my own circumstances, and if I were in the situation where I was thinking about college today, it would be a very stressful decision, because of you hear all the stories about so many people defaulting and not being able to find a sufficient income to be able to repay the debt after they graduate, and they're running into to tough times. The cost itself. So I would really have trouble making the same decision about college education as I did early on.
Yeah, when I graduated, I was in a similar situation. We were able to. Between work and some different things that were done, financial aid, scholarships, parents doing a lot, I didn't have to saddle myself up with a lot of debt. And I look back on that now, and in contrast to what we see now today, Bruce, it really is a stark contrast. I feel like I just didn't realize how good I had it compared to what a lot of the students are dealing with now.
Yeah, and the debt is getting in the way of a lot of other important financial decisions that people have to make. Saving for retirement.
Sure.
We encourage people to do as early as they can.
Absolutely.
As soon as they understand the concept. But, you know, you leave college and you're faced with this tremendous mountain of debt. That's clearly going to get into the way of that goal of saving the appropriate amount for retirement. And also, it can get in the way of home ownership. It can get in the way of a lot of other things. And people are having to delay putting away enough into savings for retirement. They're even having to delay putting money into emergency savings just to have some money to fall back on without relying on debt for emergencies.
And that's what a lot of people have to do, is they have to go to that credit card, which is the subject of our next topic, Bruce. I want to get to you on taxes and credit cards and some surprises that people may not be aware of that may come down the line for them. Bruce McClary, ladies and gentlemen, Vice President of Public Relations and External Affairs for National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC.org. And they've got an 800 number, 388-2227. Quick break. We'll be right back with Bruce.
What if in the time it takes you to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? Well, if you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. It's as simple as that. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? And there's no cost or obligation to meet with David. All you need to do is simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com for more information.
And welcome back. Hey, I teased everybody up there before the break, Bruce, about the other issue with credit card and things of that nature. And I know that's something that a lot of people don't know about. And one of the things you know that has been brought up, and it's appeared recently in various magazines and articles, that people are surprised if they do work through a debt management or even get credit card debt relief, that relief, the amount that is relieved from there or having to pay it back, it's income.
Yeah, that if you go through a debt settlement program and a portion of the balance that you owe is settled, it's possible that you could have the tax man knocking on your door.
Yeah.
For taxes on the amount that was settled, because you're right, it is considered income to the consumer who's having that debt settled. And it, as you mentioned before the break, it can be a surprise.
Right.
Not a pleasant one.
No, you know, being a CPA by training, you know, I know where this comes from, Bruce, and it's because the company, when they send you that 1099, it's because they're claiming it as an expense on their own financial statements, the credit card issuer, the lender. They're putting that down as an expense. It's no longer a receivable for them. It is now an expense that they have to put on their books, and they issued a 1099 to tell the IRS, we're claiming a deduction because this is an expense for us. Go look for this income from this other person to balance the books for the IRS.
Yeah, exactly. So when they're putting it as an expense, it's no different than if you put in some time and worked for that company,
exactly,
and paid you that amount. I mean, it is... That's in the simplest terms, that's what it is. So when you're working to try to get your debt settled, you really are, in a sense, working for that settlement because you're going to get paid.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it, Bruce. That's very funny. Well, and, you know, we're not telling people that they shouldn't seek debt relief. And, you know, obviously, if they can get debt relief, get debt interest reductions, whatever can be done, of course, NFCC.org, good website to go to take a look at some of the things that you might look at and be able to talk to a counselor about how to work through these things and get some good counseling. We're not telling people not to pursue this. We're just telling them to be on the lookout and be aware that there could be taxable income. Now, I don't want people to get confused, Bruce, about debt relief, because there has been this ongoing, as you know, ongoing of kicking the can down the road, this annual renewal of the exemption from income for debt relief that comes from a home mortgage. And
yeah,
that's completely separate. And that has continued to be a non-taxable income item, but So I don't want people to get confused about that.
Yeah, right. We're talking about debt settlement for credit card right. debt and things like that when it comes to the taxable amount that on the taxation on the amount settled. That would be, you know, in the realm of credit card, unsecured debt, those kind of things.
Okay. Well, speaking of credit cards and taxes, let's flip it around. Are you seeing, again, from your perspective, and I know that you have done a lot of this work doing one-on-one counseling yourself for thousands of consumers and training counselors. I'm sure you've run across this with people who are who use a credit card to pay taxes. Is that something that you've seen as a trend? Is it becoming more common, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, we've seen that, and of course, it's not. I wouldn't say it's widespread, but there are people that are interested in paying their taxes with a credit card, and some of them, of course, they have. They have points that the rewards that they're interested in, so they want to, you know, get points for what they do. Other people just see it as an easier way to manage that mm-hmm. lump sum payment if they're going to make it
right.
As a lump sum. So we've seen that, but there are some things that people have to be careful about when they're thinking about paying taxes on their credit card. Of course, they could be charged fees by the credit card company. The transaction fee, there's a debit card fee. It's just under $3. There's a credit card fee that runs between 1.5% and 2.5% of the total transaction. And when you're thinking about making a tax payment, sometimes that can be a pretty hefty chunk of money if it's one lump. So you got to think, well, 1.5%, 2.5%, that could be the transaction fee that you're hit with after putting it on your card. And then, of course, the other thing is, based on the terms of your credit card, you may not get the reward points you thought you might have gotten for that purchase, because it may be excluded from what qualifies to get those points. So you really want to go down and get the magnifying glass out and read that teeny tiny print on your credit card agreement, just to make sure that you're going to get the points that you're expecting from that transaction.
Excellent point, Bruce. And also that cash advance may be, you know, kind of stacked at the bottom of your principal balance of your credit card, whereas your new charges, they go on top, and it sits down there until you get to it and paying off more recent debt or more recent charges. Yeah, it's something to be careful with, because it can really catch somebody and sneak up on them. So yeah. I tell you, people just got to be careful with anything else. And I know that, you know, the budgeting is a big part of what your counselors and folks that you're associated with, Bruce, through NFCC, that big part of this is getting the budget right so you make your payments timely.
Yeah, exactly, because what you don't want to do, a couple of things that you really want to avoid if you can, is getting into a situation where this thing sits on your credit card for months and months and months, and then you're paying interest on that, your credit card interest, and depending on the credit card you have, if you're the average person right now, the interest rates aren't terrific. So you could be paying, you know, upwards of 11, 12, 15% or even higher APR on that amount, that balance that you're carrying month to month. So it's going to continue costing you until you clear it. So you really have to have a plan in place to get that paid off as quickly as possible after putting it on your card, or, you know, that tax debt's going to start growing because of the interest being applied.
Well, and I can tell you, Bruce, that's all good points. And I can tell you for our listeners that I run into this more than people might think doing financial planning work for people. You know, people say, well, you know, if you've got some money, then you're fine. And I see this all over the place. I've had people come in here, Bruce, and meet with me, and they've got what most people consider to be a lot of money, and they aren't really managing their credit cards and aren't really fully aware of all those details you just went through, even though they might have a large 401k or IRA or a large investment account.
Yeah, and you got to think about it in terms of money in and money out. If you look at what your investment accounts are earning, and then look at what your debt is costing you, and then just run a comparison and see how much your debt is getting in the way of saving for your future, whether it's your emergency savings or whether it's your 401k, your retirement. A lot of the money that you're losing because you're leaving the debt on the books and carrying balances month to month and generating these high interest rates. In the long term, that could be, you know, if you pay it off quickly, that could be money that's better allocated towards saving for your financial future instead of paying for the decisions you made in the past.
Amen to that. That's well put. Bruce McClary, VP of Public Relations and External Affairs for National Foundation for Credit Counseling, NFCC.org. We'll grab another quick break. We'll come back with Bruce and talk about things going on with the credit reporting agencies, and we'll dig in a little bit there, so stay right there.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your financial portfolio prepared for such a correction? What about inflation? What's your plan when that gallon of milk or gallon of gasoline costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has all the answers to questions like these and practical steps to help you hedge against these negative events. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland.
And we are back. Bruce McCleary on the line with us from NFCC, the credit counseling juggernaut, who now is also helping with Student Loan Alliance, their acquisition recently. They're going to be ramping up and integrating the student loan counseling into their national program, which is very exciting and I think going to be very helpful, Bruce. I want to go back to the credit reporting agencies. You know, these agencies are a mystery to most people, Bruce, and you know, they don't know what they are. They just know that they have something to do with their credit. Some of them give a score, some of them report different information. And so has there been some changes there where there's some better accountability? What's been going on? I know there's some changes afoot within those agencies.
Yeah, there are very recent changes, as a matter of fact, just recently announced within the past month. Two of those changes are really going to have a direct effect on consumers, a significant direct effect. There are changes in how people are going to go about disputing errors in their credit files. And also, there are going to be changes in the type of credit information that will appear in their files. So those are two specific changes. Medical debt is an area where there is, I think, the most significant change to what is reported and what isn't reported. And there are a lot of people that are struggling with medical debt, and there's a lot of frustration in how medical debt is handled on credit reports. And there's a period of time when people are waiting to get their insurance benefits to cover some of their medical costs. But a lot of times what happens is those medical accounts will slip into collection and show up on their report before everything is resolved with the insurance provider. And so people are getting penalized for debt that's eventually going to be paid off anyway because of their coverage. So what's happening here is that the credit reporting agencies are giving people a 180-day grace period before things show up on their credit report with these medical debt, with these medical accounts. So it gives the insurance them the time to wrap things up with the insurance care provider and pay those off.
Excellent. Well, I just got one yesterday. I got a bill at home, and it was old. It's like, oh yeah, we applied, and your insurance company said that they're going to apply this towards the deductible. I'm like, well, we could have known that a few months ago, but you know, and it's not going to go into collections because I'm going to pay it today. But it's, you know, the lag time in getting stuff paid, and the insurance companies, if they have any sniff or suspicion of there's any type of accident where there might be auto insurance or there might be work comp or there might be other coverage, and they, you know, they start looking at subrogation. I mean, there's a lot of things they start looking for before they make that payment, and it could drag on for quite a while, and the provider's like, hey, we got to get paid.
Yeah, you're dealing with two different parties, and everybody wants things done on a different timeline. You've got the insurance company taking their time, and you've got the care provider tapping their watch, thinking, all right, let's go, let's step it up.
Right.
So the good thing about this, too, is that even if the insurance provider takes a little more than 180 days and the account does happen to show up in collections on your report, once the insurance provider does eventually move and make a decision to pay that off, then that account can come off your report.
Okay.
So that's another one of the significant changes. So either way, you're not going to be penalized for medical debt that's in the process of being taken care of by the insurance company or eventually is. Then that debt can come off. So that's good. And then the process of disputing things on your credit report, talk about frustration.
Sure.
That's going to change as well. So there's going to be a more efficient process. They're promising more transparency in the process. And if you're not satisfied with the results after you go through the period of disputing something, there's an avenue for you as the consumer to push back and say, all right, I want another look at this.
That's right. And if you like your credit score, you can keep your credit score.
Right.
Sorry, I write my own material, Bruce. I'm sorry. I had to get that in. But you know what? A lot of people don't really know much about this. And, you know, and the numbers are really amazing. You've got You know, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, the total is over 200 million individuals they keep records on. I mean, this is a big, big deal. And these are private companies, correct?
Yeah, they're private companies, and each one of them has a different mathematical. I mean, there are all these different scoring systems.
Right.
You look at, you know, FICO, and you look at
some of them are in Latin.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, everybody has this different scoring model. And while there are a lot of similarities in the way that they score you on your credit history, if you get down under the hood and look at the part that none of us have ever seen, you know, there are some differences in the mathematics behind that. So
yeah.
People have to understand that, yeah, these are private companies. They have a different way of going about it, but they collect a lot of personal data on a lot of people. And what they report has a significant effect on everybody's life. I mean, it can make or break your ability to buy a house, to buy a car. Credit reports are factored in in situations where you're looking for a job in some state.
Yeah.
Where they can use your credit report for that. And, of course, insurance rates.
Absolutely. All of that's affected.
Yeah. So it's very important that consumers check their credit regularly and they make sure that they are taking the opportunity to dispute things that don't look right.
And that's annualcreditreport.com or .org?
Yeah, .com.
.com, okay.
Yeah, annualcreditreport.com,
okay. And we've got about a minute left. I know that President Obama recently unveiled a plan for student loan bars. Anything significant there for us to comment on real quick?
Well, it's just it shows that this is an urgent situation. It is a crisis, and a lot of the changes aren't immediate. So it's going to take time to implement a lot of what was announced. A lot of it has to be put in place. It's a very significant amount. When you think about $1.3 trillion addressing a crisis that big,
yeah.
So it's not immediate, but it's going to take time, and help is on the way. And, of course, counseling by agencies through the NFCC, that's available even right now, but it's going to get better.
That's great. Yeah, a lot of what has to happen is get better transparency on these student loans. The companies that are servicing and trying to collect this debt, they've got to get better about making it clear about how the process works. And of course, we love the fact that we have the NFCC to help us with all of the counseling, and you've got agencies all over the country. People can go to the website, nfcc.org, Bruce, and find a local agency that has your blessing or approval, and they can work with them to get back on track.
Right, over 600 financial counseling centers in all 50 states and Puerto Rico. And like I said, some of them are already offering the student loan counseling, which can be found at nfcc.org. But if it's credit counseling, housing, any other issue, got to call them up and get some advice right away.
All right, Bruce. Well, listen, I appreciate you taking time out to be with us. Bruce McClary, ladies and gentlemen, Vice President of Public Relations and External Affairs for National Foundation for Credit Counseling, nfcc.org, and that 800 number, 388-2227. Thank you, Bruce.
All right. Thank you, David.
Thank you, sir.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.